1 Peter chapter 2. A couple of weeks ago, we had a Bible study from verse 11, and it was titled, Good Instruction for Believers. Good Instruction for Believers. And that was the first point to stress. Peter is talking to believers. He's talking to believers, those who have, as verse 3 said, tasted that the Lord is gracious. Those who have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Those who have tasted grace. Grace, true God-given grace. Those who have received the gift of Christ. Those who have received forgiveness in Him. That's who he's talking to. That's who he has all of this to say to. And he said in verse 9 of chapter 2, I'm talking to those who are the chosen generation. He said, you are a chosen generation. I'm talking to God's elect. I'm speaking to God's elect. Not those who are trying to earn their own salvation through good works. Because he is about to give us instruction on how to live. And he said, first, I want it to be clear that I'm not speaking to those who are trying to earn a good standing before God through their own good works. I'm speaking to God's elect. I'm speaking to those that God chose and God redeemed and God has called. I'm speaking to those who God started it and God finished it. That's who I'm talking to. And he said in verse 10, I'm talking to those which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I'm talking to those who have obtained mercy. I'm talking to those who love mercy. I'm talking to those who plead mercy, mercy. And is that us? Is that us? We plead mercy. That's what we plead, mercy. Well, to God's people, he says, I have some good instruction for you concerning our conduct in this life. Good instruction for our conduct. There are some things that believers ought to strive to do. There are some ways that believers ought to strive to be. There are some opinions, there are some thoughts, some mindsets that believers ought to strive to have. And the reason is because it's becoming of a believer. It's becoming of God's people. Those who desire to be like Christ. And it's in agreement with God's commandment toward us. So the first word of instruction that we looked at 2 weeks ago was in verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. He said, let's make a conscious effort to stop doing things. Let's make a conscious effort to actively abstain from. Do everything that's in our ability to hinder things that bring harm to us spiritually. Things that harm our spiritual state. Things that harm our spiritual worship. Things that harm our spiritual growth. Whatever those things are, he said, let's abstain from them. Let's do everything in our power to go to war with things that war against our soul. That's what he said they do. They war against the soul. Now I'll go ahead and remind us again that we are not fighting the war of salvation. We are not fighting the war of salvation. Christ fought that battle and won. It is finished. That battle's over. He won the victory. So we don't strive to abstain from fleshly lust in order to be kept. If you don't do this, you're going to fall away. If you don't do this, you're going to lose your salvation. That's not so. That's not so. We don't strive to abstain from fleshly lust to be kept. We strive to do it for the good of our spiritual well-being, the good of our spiritual peace and our spiritual contentment. You cannot put a price on contentment. You cannot put a price on contentment. You can put a price on a lot of things. Contentment is not one of them. If God gives us contentment, spiritual peace, spiritual contentment, it's the greatest blessing we can know here on this earth. Faith, those things always increase. They always increase when nothing is hindering my view of Christ. They always increase. That peace, that contentment, the faith, the joy, it always increases when there's nothing hindering my view of Christ. As soon as something gets in the way, write it down. Watch them fall. Watch peace go out the window. Watch contentment fall. Watch joy plummet. So it's wise instruction. It's good instruction. Let's abstain with everything that's in our power from these things that get in the way. Now the next thing he says is in verse 12. 1 Peter 2, verse 12, he says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. I cannot tell you how much I want to learn this instruction. I can't tell you. I am as serious as I can be. I would love for the Lord to apply this to me. I'd love for Him to apply this to my heart. Now give me just a minute. We're going to turn to a couple of places and I'm going to set this up and then we'll see what He's saying. Really understand what He's saying. For visitation, the last word in the verse. Do you see, if you have the center margin in your Bible, do you see Luke 19:44? Turn with me over there to Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, and let's begin reading in verse 1. And this is an amazing portion of Scripture right here. If you look at the top of your page, it may say the same thing mine does. Christ weepeth over Jerusalem. This is one of the moments when our Lord wept. And it says in verse 41, when He was come near, He beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. He said, everybody's so happy and marrying and giving in marriage and going about life and it's great in Jerusalem. He said, if you only knew what was coming. He said at the end of verse 42, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children with thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. That really happened to Jerusalem in 70 AD. Our Lord left this earth somewhere around 33. AD, and then the apostles started writing the New Testament. And the last entry of the New Testament was somewhere around 96 or 98 AD, which is John on the Isle of Patmos writing Revelation. So right in the middle of all that, Jerusalem was besieged and Jerusalem was slaughtered. I mean, there was literally not one stone left standing in the temple. This great abomination of the temple. But our Lord wept for Jerusalem because he said, you have no idea of the visitation that's about to come to you. The trial, that's what the word means. There and in our text, when you look up the word, it means trial. He said, the day of your trial is coming. And what a trial it's going to be. And he wept over them because they had no idea what a great trial was about to come to them. Now, if you'll go with me back to 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter said, concerning the day of trial. That's what the whole verse is about. Concerning the day of trial. In verse 12, he said, having your conversation honest. Have an honest conversation. It is important for our conversation to be honest. It is very important. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 12. I believe it's important for all believers to be reminded of that. We need to have an honest conversation. Romans 12, verse 17 says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Now think about that for just a second. Recompense to no man evil for evil. When evil comes to you, he said, don't return it to the man. Don't return it to the man. He said, if he literally clenches his fist and slugs you in the cheek, give him the other one. That's what he said. And why would we do that? That's exactly what he did for us. All we did was evil toward him. Evil toward him. He did not recompense evil for evil. An eye for an eye is what we were owed. But that's not what he gave to us. And he said, recompense to no man evil for evil. He said in verse 17, provide things honest in the sight of all men. All men, not just believers, all men. Be honest and upfront and in agreement with the Scripture before all men. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians 8:21, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. You know, the Lord, we know the Lord sees us, knows us. We can't hide anything from Him. He says, don't try to hide anything from men either. Honest, honest. That is so important. But Peter is saying so much more than that in our verse this morning. So much more than that. Go with me back to the text. 1 Peter 2. He said in verse 12, having your conversation honest. That word means, it translates, beautiful. That's what the word means. Have beautiful conversation. It means beautiful to look at. It means attractive. Have attractive conversation. Beautiful conversation among the Gentiles, unbelievers. Have a beautiful conversation among the believers. Not just an honest conversation, a beautiful conversation. I pray the Lord would please give me this. Please give me this. He went on to say that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they literally call good evil and evil good. Whatever the scripture says, they call that evil. Whatever it says. They call bowing to the word of God evil. That's evil. So he said in verse 12, have your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works. And good works is the same translation as honest. It's the same word. When this was originally written, it was the same word two times, and the translators translated it one time honest and one time good works. They both mean beautiful conversation. Beautiful conversation. Whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your beautiful conversation, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of your trial. So do we understand what he's saying right there? He said, strive to always have beautiful conversation in front of unbelievers so that no matter what they think of you, when they see how you handle your trial, they have to say, he or she really does trust God. They have to say that. He or she truly does look to Christ. They truly do look to Christ. Now, let me give you an illustration of some beautiful conversation. A very dear woman, quite a few years ago, a very, very dear believing woman, precious believer. I know her very well. I love her very much. I love her so much. But she lost her daughter quite a few years ago. She lost her daughter in a car on purpose. And most people refer to them as car accidents, but there are no accidents with God. None. So she lost her daughter, who was in her late 20s, and she was a believer. All right, this believing woman lost her believing daughter. A few years earlier, she lost her husband to cancer, and he was a believer. The Lord has been very good to this family, very kind. But she lost her husband, and now she lost her daughter. A friend of the family, who, again, I know, a friend of the family, a woman who is not a believer, she wanted to come over and console this believer. Right after this happened, she wanted to come over and help her. As soon as she got to her house, she wanted to create drama. That's all she wanted to do. She wanted to work it up. Let's get it worked up. Let's get this out. You need to start crying this out. Let's get it going. And she was doing everything she could to get this woman to lash out. And in the process, the woman told her, I am grieving. Plenty of tears have been shed. But the thing about it is she did not grieve and sorrow as those who have no hope. That's the difference. There is sorrow there. She loves, not loved. She will see both of them again. She loves her husband and she loves her daughter. And there was sorrow there, but not as those who have no hope. Well, this believing woman in her solemn sorrow, that was not good enough for this unbelieving woman. And she was being ridiculous. She kept saying, how she was raising her voice at her, just getting fired up at her, saying, how can you be so calm right now? And this believing woman explained to her, it's because my God is sovereign. It's because my God is in control. It's because my God orders all things, and my God purposed for this to happen. And it's because I have the comfort of knowing that she put her trust in the Lord, and this was His will, and I bow to it. I bow to it. This other woman said, if you don't get this out, you're going to explode. You're going to explode. You're going to have to get this off your chest. You're going to explode. She said, here's the problem. You can't grieve here. There are too many people at your house. She said, I want you to come to my house. And when you get there, I want you to run through my house. And I want you to pull your hair out. And I want you to scream at the top of your lungs. The believing woman said, thank you, but that will not be necessary. That's just not necessary. She said, what's wrong with you? Why won't you get it out? The believing woman said, there's nothing to get out. I'm not angry. I'm not angry. Don't get me wrong. I am sad. I'm sad. But I bow to my Lord. I trust Him. That is beautiful conversation. That is so attractive. That is so becoming of a believer. One of these days, I would love for the Lord to put that conversation in my heart. Wouldn't you love the day of your visitation? It will come. Great trial is coming. Our Lord cannot lie, and He said, in the world you shall have tribulation. Get ready. Be of good cheer. Be of good comfort. I've overcome the world. Just look past it. Trust me. And I pray the Lord would honestly put that in my heart, that beautiful, beautiful conversation, whenever my trial comes, whatever the day of my visitation is. Knowing that story, I've heard that story many times. Knowing that story, that causes me to believe she really does trust God. I believe she does. I believe she truly believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe she's cast her all on Christ. And that makes me glorify God. It makes me want to glorify God. Just seeing what He did in her, for her, how He allowed her to handle that situation. I cannot imagine being put in that situation. And seeing what He did for her, that just makes me want to glorify God. Because He'll do it for every single one of His people. He will. He'll do it for every one of His people. Peter is telling us this is the way a believer ought to conduct himself in front of the world. This is the conversation that is becoming of a believer. This is the conversation that adorns and beautifies a believer. Over in, well, just look at it with me quickly. Go to 2 Samuel 16. Second Samuel 16, verse 5 says, when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came, and he cast stones at David and all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. So here David's walking, and this man Shimei is cursing him and throwing stones at him. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned, and the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abisha, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king. Now this is one of the king's main soldiers. Why would this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take his head off. Please, let me go cut his head off. And the king said, what have I to do with you, you son of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Let me repeat that. The Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Let me repeat that. The Lord said unto him, curse David. Is that not amazing? The Lord said to him, I want you to go curse David and throw stones at him. And he said, who shall then say, wherefore hast thou, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And David said to Abisha and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. Don't ruin the blessing. That's what he said. Don't ruin the blessing. Let's just wait. Let's wait on the Lord. One of these days, I would love for the Lord to teach me to have some beautiful conversation. I really would. I mean that. I'm going to give you one more illustration. And here's the illustration. Complaining is never beautiful. I'm speaking to Gabe Stoniker. Complaining is never beautiful. It's not beautiful to God. It's not beautiful to his people. It's not beautiful. And I have something that's just very fun to me. But whenever I married into Hannah's family, and I first started getting to know Henry more than just who he was, especially when he moved to Rocky Mount, it didn't take me long at all to realize that this is how our conversations went almost every time. He'd ask me, well, how's work going? Oh, well, he'd say, but it's good, right? Well, I've just got some things going on right now that I mean, but it's good, right? Well, yeah, but there, you see, I'm under a lot of, right now I got, but it's good, right? Until I'd finally say, yeah, it's good. Good! Did you hear that, Doris? He said it's good. I asked him how work is going. He said good. All right, it didn't take long at all for me to realize, why don't we just get to the good part? How's work going? Going great. Good. That's so good. That's so good. He did that on purpose. He's a sharp man. He did that to teach me something that I needed to learn. Complaining is never attractive. And I want to believe, I don't know that it has now since, but at least while I was with him all the time in that span of time, I want to believe it rubbed off. I started to get it. And it's contagious. It's very, very contagious. And I pray the Lord might let it rub off. Lord, let it rub off on us, your people. Because of everything you've done for us. Just, we don't have much time, but take 3 seconds and just think of everything he's done for us. Because of everything you've done for us, all the good you've sent us, but it's good, right? Oh! but it's good, right? Let it rub off. Let it rub off. Let's close with this verse. Go with me to Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Dwell on them in the heart." Maybe out of the heart the mouth will speak. Think on these things. And verse 9 says, "Those things which you've both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you."